Today we're talking about what happens when a person meets an INFJ for the very first time in their lives. As INFJs, we have had this daydream of somebody meeting us and seeing how special we are. Feeling like for the first time, they appreciate everything that we do for them, how seen we make them feel, how connected, how deep we actually are. And so many of us have had this daydream for the majority of our lives and hope that one day people will recognize our worthiness. I get that. I felt this way. I've talked to hundreds, if not thousands, of INFJs who have felt that. But the truth is, we want to feel worthy. We want to appreciate ourselves. And if we look out for other people's reaction, we're looking at the wrong thing. That does not mean that you can just stop and say, oh, okay, I'm just not going to care how another person feels when they meet me. It's actually the other way around. We have to take action and become a person who feels worthy, who feels excited about life, who's proud of their life, and who wants to continue growing. And then when you meet people, you will have people who appreciate your worth, but you're not going to rely on that. And that changes the entire dynamic. So today we're going to talk about 5 reactions people have when they first meet an INFJ and how we can interpret those reactions correctly so they're not leading us down the wrong path. If you, on the other hand, say I'm ready for the right path, then start taking action. Check out the free poster on the INFJ Epic Life Formula to see where the journey is headed. And if you want to learn how you want to take action towards your INFJ Epic Life, how to get excited and motivated and have this deep desire for life as an INFJ, then get the INFJ Epic Life audio guide. Click the link in the description and start your INFJ Epic Life journey today. The first reaction a lot of people have when they meet an INFJ for the first time is confusion. They don't know what's going on because it seems like there's this person who just lives in a different atmosphere. They're just out of space. For them, it seems like the INFJ is just going through life and somehow they haven't died yet. They have survived through their way of living, although it doesn't make any sense to them. A lot of INFJs get really torn up about this because it is this reaction of, there's something wrong with me. I'm different. Why do people react like this towards me? But what we have to understand is that this is just normal. People are going to be confused because you are an independent thinker. You can do things your own way because that's what makes you feel good. People very often don't have the luxury of making those choices for them because they're afraid of being ostracized, they're afraid of being rejected, and they wish they could do what you do. But before they even get there, they're going to be confused. And so what a lot of INFJs do who haven't gone down the path of creating their own worthiness by creating their INFJ epic life, by taking action, by becoming the INFJ who wants to take action, they're looking at this scenario and asking, how can I get worthiness from this interaction? I have to make the other person understand me. They're confused. So I have to translate who I am to their language to make it easier for them to understand me. That's not going to work out. If people are committed to misunderstanding you, they're going to misunderstand you, no matter how much you try. But if you're already creating this excitement for your life and you feel in control of that, this interaction will be an afterthought. You will see, oh, okay, that person is confused by me. I'm not even thinking about it. Let me focus on that thing that is creating excitement for me. The second reaction a lot of people have when they meet an INFJ for the first time is neediness. Because what do we as INFJs do very often when we see a person? We see what they're lacking. And I mean lacking as an emotional support. We see what they're lacking in order to feel confident about themselves. We see what they're lacking in order to love themselves. And we become the perfect addition to that. We are there to fulfill what is missing. And so without the other person knowing what's going on, they create some kind of neediness towards us. And we didn't even do that because we wanted the other person to be attached to us. We didn't do this because we wanted them to stay around us and not let go of us. We just did it because we could, because we wanted to be kind, because it was the decent thing to do. To really see that person, to make them feel seen, make them feel understood. But that's one of the reactions we're going to get. People will get overly attached. they will need this because it's the equivalent of somebody starving and you being there with like a 6-course meal. Of course they're going to be needy. Of course they will want to be around you. But what do most INFJs do? We actually hold back. We're not really being who we can be in that situation because we're afraid of this reaction. Because if somebody needs us this way, we cannot reject them. That would make us bad people. And this is what we have to understand, that although people might react this way to us, it's not on us to make them feel good about it. We are so often holding back of who we truly are because of those kind of consequences. You being your best self, you being, you know, everything that you can be, is not something you should be ashamed of. Yes, it might make people feel like they're starving, but the solution is not for you to give everything to them or not even get into those situations because of the fear of being responsible for them then, but actually to be an inspiration of, look what I'm creating for myself. Look at this excitement for life I'm creating. You can do this too by choosing you. If you're thirsty, if you don't have enough to get inspired by, then do something that inspires you. Because everything else is just a crutch anyway. The third reactions a lot of INFJs get when somebody meets an INFJ for the first time is admiration. They get that because, again, we can become the person that they want us to be. We are great chameleons. And if we're not really being everything that we are, we're probably going to morph into this version that other people can put on a pedestal. Again, it's not something we do out of malicious thoughts. It's particularly happening when we're not creating our INFJ epic life, because guess what? We're human. As humans, we like to be admired. We like to get appreciation. And sometimes being appreciated for this version that we create feels like the next best thing. We are not even thinking about it. But the more you tap into who you truly are, the more action you take, the more you learn how to want to take action and create the life you always wanted, the less you're going to feel like you have to play this role. If somebody admires you, great, okay. That's no problem. The problem is if people admire you for this version that you play and then you want to become human again. That's when you have the situations where people ghost you, where people get resentful, you know, because they believe that you're somebody else, all of that. We don't want people to put us on pedestals. And they most likely are going to put us on pedestals if we play the role that they want us to. Yes, we can read what they want. That doesn't mean that we have to play into this. But we're most likely going to do that if we still need that feeling of you're worthy, you're somebody special, you deserve to be loved. You are the one who has to make sure that you give yourself those things, to be proud of yourself, to create a version of your life where you feel like, if I would see this from the outside, I would say, oh, that's a cool life. That's what you want for yourself. And then you can look at a situation like this and understand that this admiration has nothing to do with you. It's just a projection they put on you. And as INFJs, we're really great canvases. And canvases in a way that most people are not used to. Because most people are not able to hollow themselves out the way we can, right? And so it seems like somebody can project everything they want onto you, and they probably can't do that, you know, on other people. And that's why we get that first admiration. That does not mean that they really admire who we truly are. Because guess what? They don't know us yet. The fourth reaction a lot of people have when they meet an INFJ for the first time is kinship. And again, this comes back to us being able to be chameleons. We want to make that person feel seen. And so therefore, we become a person who can hear them. We become a person who makes sense to them. We show up as this version of ourselves that can really identify with who they are. Think about it. How often do we fall into this pattern of listening to the new music that new person we met, you know, is just listening all the time? We fall into their world. And we can do this. This is not something we have to stop. We just have to know, because of that, people are going to have a reaction towards us, and they're going to feel like, oh, this is a kindred soul, and they're going to feel connected, and they're going to feel seen, and they're going to feel understood. because that's how you make them feel like. But what they have to understand as well is that you're human and you have your own needs and you have things that you like that they're not going to like, and you have opinions that they're not going to like. And the sooner you allow yourself to show them, the more you are going to feel understood, the more you are going to feel connected. Because we as INFJs, you know, we're really good at making other people feel understood and connected, but so often we go through life and, you know, we want that. We feel like we're disconnected. We feel like nobody understands us. That's why we go out of our way and search for people, you know, telling us, maybe for the first time ever, you're worthy the way you are. But it just doesn't lead anywhere. If it would, we would have already reached it. We have to get to a place where we know we're worthy because we're creating the life that we know we're capable of creating. And then, yes, you might have this kinship relationship with somebody, but it will always have the nuances of, this is who I truly am. And there's this aspect of me that I'm not giving up, because there's this part of me that is committing to creating their INFJ epic life. And this will stand above everything. This will stand above every relationship I have in my life, because living my life the way I'm supposed to is the essence of who I am. And through that, I can love the people in my life. But I'm not going to make a trade-off and give up the thing that makes me me, the thing that gets me excited about life. The fifth reaction a lot of people have when they meet an INFJ for the first time is, believe it or not, envy. And this is probably the hardest to recognize, because we will think everything before we think people are envious of us. But it's our free nature that people are so envious of so often. The fact that we can be who we want to be in this one moment and we can be somebody else the next. The fact that we don't have to play by so many rules, because psychologically speaking, we know we're free of them. A lot of people will have some kind of envy towards that. They see this freedom that we embody so often and they want to have that too. And that's why you will have people who will have extreme reactions towards you. Although you think, like, they don't even like me. Like, why don't they just leave me alone? Why don't they just do their thing and ignore me? Like, what's the problem with that? The problem is that you represent something that they don't dare to be. And that's the bottom line. That does not mean that you have to have compassion for them in a way of, oh, you know, you're not really a bully. You're just envious of me. So let me go out of your way to make you feel comfortable. This is something a lot of INFJs do. I know I've done that, but it's also not leading us to where we want. It's not our fault that people feel envious of this, but it's on us to make sure that we're not to be messed with either. Yes, we don't want people to feel bad, but we're not going to do this at the expense of us feeling good. And in order for us to hold on to this emotion of feeling good about ourselves, we have to have practice in it. We have to continuously create it. And therefore, we have to learn how to become an INFJ who wants to take action towards their INFJ epic life. It's really more than a mindset shift. It's strategic steps that help you as an INFJ become somebody who identifies with being an INFJ creating their INFJ epic life. Because then things are happening naturally. Just like, I'm going to brush my teeth every day because I identify as somebody who brushes their teeth every day. And if I didn't do that, I wouldn't feel like myself. That's how we want to feel like about us creating our INFJ epic life. And that's why we have to learn what works for us in order to make that happen. So remember, if you want some more insights and strategic steps that have worked for so many INFJs before, get the INFJ Epic Life audio guide, click the link in the description and start today. And if you want to watch another video now that is in alignment with today's topic, then check out the video you see on the screen right now. I'll see you in the next one. Bye, guys.